Hello and welcome home. You're listening to the Tribe Abuja podcast. We hope this message inspires and encourages you to know and make known the truth and love of God the Father as expressed through his son, Jesus. Let's listen to the message.
If you're not going, I'm not going. If you're not going, I'm not going. God said, don't worry, my presence will go with you. And three things happen. Three things happen, or the Lord told him will happen when my presence goes with you. Number one, you have what? Rest. Amen. Rest. So is it possible that a situation in our lives that we are anxious or worried about is because we have deliberately stepped out of the presence of God? He says, because I will give you rest. Rest in the wilderness. Because in the wilderness, you can't plant anything. So they were thinking of food. They were thinking of how will we sponsor this, you know, Japa from Egypt to Canaan. Don't worry, I'm not going anywhere. Maybe. But did you guys see? Who saw that? That they are looking for pastors. I mean, the gospel. Jesus said till the ends of the earth. No, we are not going anywhere. But never say never. Anyway. Where were we? Canaan, Canada. Moses said, if you don't go with us, we're not going. Listen, in the wilderness, they were eating manna and quail. You know, we think manna is bread. But manna actually means we don't know what this thing. That's what it is. Do you understand? So they were, imagine eating manna or whatever that was for 40 years. So which means they were having, was it nutritionists? You guys tell us. There's six classes of food. But so they were nourished. It was a balanced diet, whatever that was. God said, my presence will go with you. And the first thing is that I will give you rest. And the second thing he said, I will give you favor. Amen. I will give you favor. Favor, and some translations translate that as grace. It says, my presence will give you grace. And grace is empowerment. Amen. Grace is empowerment, is God's gift, which means he is going to empower you for the journey ahead. So from your present condition to your promised land, I told you, you need to close the gap with what? The presence of God. And the presence of God comes, number one, with what? Rest. Rest. And the second thing is what? Favor. Then Moses went further and said, Lord, these nations, I don't want them to make a mockery of us. And the Lord said, don't worry, my presence will bring a distinction. So the presence of God brings rest. The presence of God brings what? Favor. And the presence of God brings what? Distinction. That you are set apart. You are separate. Amen. So the children of God are not like any other person. Glory. That's what the presence of God does. But let's jump to a man called David, King David. Now, the Ark of the Covenant, for some weird reason, it was trapped somewhere. David, after he had become king, he wanted to bring it into the city of David. And he takes 30,000 men. This is 2 Samuel 6. He takes 30,000 men and they go and they carry the Ark of the Covenant and they are celebrating and they are bringing it. And because it's on an oxen, what's it called? Oxen, right? What's the thing called? Cut. And it's about to fall off. Someone, out of the genuineness his heart, perhaps, touched it and the man died. Moses, David was like, no, I don't know about this. Then they dropped it. They left it there in one man's house. Then 3 months later, David heard that God had blessed this man. So another thing that the presence of God does, because the Ark of the Covenant was a symbol of the presence of God for the nation of Israel. Are you with me? So it blessed one man's family. For 3 months, David was like, no, this has to spread. It's not just for one man. So they went again and they carried the ark. Amen? And they start going. But this time around, David dresses like a priest. And he's dancing. He's celebrating the presence of God entering the city of David. Hallelujah. But you know what else he does? David, in his reign, he officiated praise and worship, prayer and worship. He officiated a prayer movement, which his son Solomon also copied when Solomon, because David was like, you know what, see, I can't be living in this palace like this. This is years later. I can't be living in this palace. And the Ark of the Covenant is just in a tent. I need to do something. And God turned and said, no, bros, your hand is too bloody. Just gather the resources. Your son will do it. Said, no wahala. Solomon builds the temple. Amen? He institutes praise and worship, and people are praying and worship. And the Bible tells us that the glory of God fills the temple. Even the priest could not do any work. They could not even go in. Like, the presence of God was so tangible, they could not do anything. But you know one beautiful thing Solomon did? Solomon said, Lord, I know, in his prayer. He said, I know that this cannot continue. He said, but Lord, while you're here, just bless our nation. Amen? So even the presence of God was not, God was not even in the temple. It was his glory. Amen? It was the glory of God that was in the temple. Fast forward to a prophet called Amos, because after the wars and Israel, kept on failing and failing and failing, the temples were burnt, you know, it was ransacked. The Ark of the Covenant was stolen by different nations. Amos prophesied that a time is coming when God will restore David's building or David's tabernacle, what David was trying to institute. Amen? Amen? So David, when he brought the Ark of the Covenant, he erected a tabernacle. A tabernacle is just a word for dwelling. Are you with me? So David erected this tent, which I believe he was inspired by from Moses as well. And he erected the tabernacle of David. And Solomon elevated that and took it to become the temple of God, or what some people call the Solomon's temple. But because of wars and wars and wars, Solomon's temple has been is no more, and the Ark of the Covenant was stolen. But Amos said a time is coming when David's tabernacle, or David's dwelling, what he instituted, that the dwelling place of God, will be what? Restored. Hallelujah. Amen. So under the old covenant, God will give out a portion of his presence to a place. Amen. So Jacob will see, he will see angel. All he saw was ladder, and he said, this is the gate of heaven. Are you all right? That's not possible now. He said, this is the gate of heaven. Jacob experienced just a portion. David experienced a portion. Solomon, a portion. Amen? But here's what I want us to understand. We that we are under the new covenant, we are not functioning like Solomon's temple, because now, under the new covenant, we are mobile temples. Hallelujah. The Bible calls us the temple of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That God is making his dwelling on the inside of us. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God's dwelling place is you. Because you know what God told David? That I can't, who told you I can dwell in a place that can be created by the hands of man? Do you know what he was saying in essence? I can only dwell in a place that I have created. Hallelujah. So Paul tells us that you are God's masterpiece, that you are God's building. Hallelujah. And he tells us that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So you house the presence of God. But here's the thing we make, the mistake we make the error of Jacob when we forget that and we don't acknowledge that? Because Jacob woke up from his dream and he said, surely God is here. He said, this is the house of God. You slept. He said, this is the house of God. Let's not go into that because, oh, sorry, it's not you, Jacob. Who is here? He said, this is the house of God. We make the error of Jacob when we don't acknowledge that now we are the dwelling place of God. So if when we change our mindset and we start to see that now, if we're to change Jacob's testimony, we'll say, surely this is Bethel. Surely this is what? The dwelling place of God. Surely this is the gate of heaven. Hallelujah. Are you guys tracking with me? So if we are to expand territory, because I was inspired by this because of what we went through last week, what I taught last week about Joshua, and because the Lord told Joshua, I will be with you just as I was with Moses. He says, I'll be with you just as I was with Moses. But not just that, he says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Then he told Joshua, anywhere your foot steps on, I have given you that land. Anywhere your foot steps on, I have given you that territory. So you expand territory through what? The promised presence of God. Amen. So the journey to having a great marriage is what? You cover that gap with what? The presence of God. Because God said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Amen. The journey to having a great ministry is encountering and journeying with the presence of God. Hallelujah. And it is first by acknowledging that God is with me. God is with me. He told Joshua, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Jesus now told us that what? Lo, behold, I will be with you till the end of the ages. Hallelujah, tribe. Amen. I will be with you till the end of the ages. So the journey from your present condition to your promised land, to your inheritance, to having a great marriage, having a great business, having great raising great children, being a great wife, being a great husband, being and enjoying everything that has been promised for you in the text has to be covered by the presence of God, because there is what? Rest, favor, and distinction. Hallelujah. So more than anything, we must always remind ourselves, not just that we are in the presence of God, but that we carry the presence of God, because we are mobile temples. So God is not in this tent. God is in us as we gather in this tent. Are you with me? But here's the thing also, don't get me wrong. God's presence can be manifest here. So there was a time somebody came here. There was an event here in the month of March. And somebody came and he had prophetic gifts. And he was like, I think they introduced me to him. And he said, oh, so this is where your church meets. I said, yes. He said, immediately he entered, all he could perceive was prayer. And that was the time we were still praying 6 a.m., 6 p.m. And I was like, glory to God. God has been doing something then. So it's possible for us to leave residues. Do you understand? But we don't come here. Now, many of us leave our houses because you think you're coming to the presence of God. No, you're carrying the presence of God and coming here. Amen. We make this error like Jacob. So in the new covenant, we are all mobile temples. And Jesus said, anywhere two or three of you are gathered, amen, I am in your midst. So there is the manifestation of God's presence as we are mobile temples, as he's indwelling us. But there's a manifestation of God's presence in the congregational gathering of the saints. Hallelujah. How many of you have just started praying with a friend and you just know that there's the third person here, that God is here? Whether it's virtual or something, you just know that it is more than the two of you praying right now, because God is honoring his promise that where two or three of you are gathered, I am in your midst. So please, in a gathering like this, don't be a spectator. Participate. Amen? So that you carry what is here and you take it into your own world, into your day-to-day. Amen, tribe? You expand territory through the presence of God. You expand territory through the presence of God. I want to give you three things you should do if you want to continue hosting the presence of God. If you never want to experience an absence of God, number one is prayer, obvious. But here's the thing, it's how you pray. The disciples asked Jesus, how then should we pray? He says, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's the prayer you pray now. If you want the presence of God in your home, if you want the presence of God in your church, if you want the presence of God in your office, you say, in Abuja, as it is in heaven. In Gwarimpa, as it is in heaven. In your home, as it is where? In heaven. That's the prayer you start praying. So you're not saying, God, come. God is here, but you're saying you want his will be done in your immediate surrounding, as it is in heaven. And the tribe, as we are, God has called us to serve this city. So if we are to continue enjoying God and encountering God, our prayer must be in Abuja, as it is where? In heaven. That's how a community hosts and stewards the presence of God. So your prayer, it's not, Lord, come. No, there's a prayer of, Lord, Maranatha, come. Do you understand? Like, this is too much. This offering is too much, please. There's traffic, all those things. But we pray, Maranatha, Lord, come. We pray for the second coming. We are longing to see Jesus. Amen. We, the bride of Christ, we are longing to see the bridegroom. Granted. However, you must steward the presence, and your prayer must be in Abuja as it is in heaven. Did you hear what I said? In where? In Abuja as it is in heaven. The second thing you must do is praise. Praise. Everyone say praise. But it's not just praise, you clap your hands. No. It's a celebratory type of praise. It is a priestly type of praise. A praise where David was adorned in part of the garments of the priest. And we, the Bible tells us that we are what? Kingdom of priests. And I've taught you that you are a priest unto God. Amen? And priests, what? Minister to God. They are mediators between God and men. So we take and we intercede on behalf of the people to God. Are you tracking me? So there's a praise. We enter his gates with thanksgiving. Hallelujah. We enter his courts with what? With praise. Praise, celebrated praise. You know, David was dancing so much. We are told that it seems his clothes fell off his body, that his wife started to mock him. Say, how can a king behave like this? Do you know what I've learned? When I see somebody is dancing more than the drum is playing, God is doing something in this person's life. So I just honor, someone should check that. I just honor, do you understand what's happening there? So if somebody is dancing and maybe they've elbowed you twice, just give them space. You don't know what God has done in their lives. Don't attract curses to yourself. Are you with me? Prayer, as in Abuja as it is in heaven. And the second thing is what? Praise, but celebratory praise. Praise that you are dancing and you are thanking God because you know who you are. You know whose you are. You know what he has given you. Let everybody mock you. Let them laugh at you. Let them say, this one. And what do they call Christians nowadays? What do they mock us? I say, we are noisy on Twitter. We have mouths now, so people know they too yab us. But whatever, you understand? You say, ah, this one is a pastor. This one is a Jew guy. This one. You praise your God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen, tribe. Praise your God. Shout in your room. Pray, play worship music. Bless God. Dance. Dance. That's how you steward the presence of God. That's how you steward the presence of God. You enter his gates with thanksgiving. You enter his courts with what? With praise. The third thing, some of you may not like this, is sacrifice. Paul tells us that we should renew our mind daily. He said, this is your reasonable, offer yourselves as living sacrifices, because this is your reasonable act of service or of worship. But like a pastor said, the thing about living sacrifices is that they are alive. If you kill a goat, but today we will dance, we will lie down at the altar, and we will sing, you're a fire, refine me, purify me. How Chandler talk on? Purify my heart, I want to burn for you. You will sing it now, you will cry. Your fancy makeup will shift. Your everything. Then tomorrow, you're telling Waka to someone in traffic. The problem about living sacrifices is that we are still alive. But the Bible has called us to die daily. Say we should die to ourselves. Jesus said, anyone that will follow me must take up his cross. A cross is not an ornament. It's not a tattoo. It's a death machine. Sacrifice. Do you know when David was transporting the Ark of the Covenant? Go and read it, 2 Samuel 6. The Bible says, every six steps they took, they sacrificed an animal. You are arguing about 10% online. Do you know, I've not really thought about giving here, because I just feel like if you really love God, you'll give. But it's an error I've made as a pastor, because I actually need to teach on giving as is prescribed, especially in the New Testament. But here's the thing. People that make comments about 10% or tithing or this thing, you're making an error. Do you know God judges us not by what we give, but by what is left? God judges you by your debit alert. If you're a Christian, I'm not saying judgment that you go to hell. I'm saying, if you want to know what you are worshiping, go and look at your debit alert. I'm sorry. Sacrifice is the third thing. David, for every step he took, every six steps, they sacrificed an animal. When Solomon built the temple, do you know how many cattle? 122,000. How much is cow now? How much is cow now? How much is beef? Half? A million? Stop. McForce, how much be cow? In 400. No, are you guys serious? That is 1 million. Oh man, I'll not waste beef in my house again. No, are you guys serious? Cow away the pass. Are you sure we'll not? Because this tech bro we are forming like this. Wait, are you?
Tio, are you serious?
One cow, moo, is 1 million naira. Is above 5 horse. Do you know, my generation, I think we have a problem with, we want a type of work that is Instagrammable. I'm really rethinking so many things right now. I honestly, 1M.
I beg, whoever, if you're serious, let's talk, please. I really don't mind holding stick. I don't mind. By the way, I'm a shepherd. I honestly do not. Oh, God. 1M. Oh. I mean, those young guys are walking around with millions of naira. I feel just hire a truck one day, just. Okay. I need to talk to Eva later. Solomon gave 122,000 cattle. Not to talk about sheep. He sacrificed. He sacrificed so much. God showed up. Solomon, what do you want? Offer your bodies as an instrument of worship, as a living sacrifice, for this is your, what, reasonable act of worship. So here's the thing. It's not that you don't sacrifice. You sacrifice a portion of your life. So you see, God, just show up in this area. I'm giving you this part. You come, you sing, Lord, I give you my heart. But you've actually given Felix. I had to think because there's no Felix in the church, to the best of my knowledge. So you're giving God a portion. Sacrifice. That's how we steward the presence of God, tribe. Amen? Sacrifice. That's how we steward the presence of God. Now, this is not me inviting you to, I'm saying you must give out your salary. No. Because 1 Corinthians, if you like, give everything. If it is not done in love, counts for nothing. Are you with me? So a person who has given themselves, there's nothing they cannot give. Does that make sense? So God wants you before he even wants your tithes and offerings. Amen. That's how we steward the presence of God. Prayer. You pray as it is in heaven. So it is in my house. So it is in my job. So it is in my family. Praise. You enter his courts with thanksgiving. You enter his gates with thanksgiving. You enter his courts with praise. You dance like David without not allowing anybody judge you or even caring what they think about you. And thirdly, sacrifice. Give yourself. So when we sing, I give myself away, it should be a prayer. But you give yourself away on Sunday, you have to give yourself away again on Monday. On Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Then you start again. You give yourself away. Hallelujah. We should not be the living sacrifices that leave the altars. And remember, as mobile temples now, we are also carrying altars. Does that make sense? That's how we steward the presence of God. So your present condition, the journey from your present condition to the promised land, you must close the gap with what? The
the presence of God. Close the gap with what? The presence of God. And like Moses, say, God, I am not going anywhere if you don't go with me, because I want rest, favor, and distinction. Amen. Have you been blessed this morning? Can you just open your mouth and just pray? And pray for the presence of God. But here's your prayer. You acknowledge that you carry the presence of God. Acknowledge that you carry the presence of God. Because if we are to expand territory, you must acknowledge that God dwells on the inside of you. You must know that the Holy Spirit dwells on the inside of you. And that because God dwells on the inside of you, you have rest. So why do you worry? Why are you anxious, the tribe? And you have rest. You don't just have rest, you have favor. The favor of God empowers you. Hallelujah. The favor of God is at work in you. And lastly, God has set you apart. You are separate. God knows you. He knows your name. He knows what you're going through. Come on, just pray. I want you to be comfortable. If you want to stand and move around, just do that. We acknowledge. Then I want you to pray. Say, as it is in heaven, so it is in my life. As it is in heaven, don't reduce the presence of God to a genre of music. Don't reduce the presence of God to your own personal preference. Matthias, do you know this song? Oh Lord, bid me to come, and I will come, 'cause where you are is where I always wanna be. Oh Lord, bid me to come, and I will come, 'cause where you are is where I always wanna be. Oh Lord, bid me to come, and I will come, 'cause where you are is where I always want to be. Oh Lord, bid me to come, and I will come, 'cause where you are is where I always want to be. Oh Lord, bid me to come, and I will come, 'cause where you are, where I always want to be. May I never be too far. May I never be late, God. Help me to walk in your way. Help me to walk in your grace. May I never be too fast. May I never be late, Lord. Help me to
walk in your pace.
Yeah.
Help me to walk in your pace.
May I never be too fast. May I never be late, God. Help me to walk in your pace. Help me to walk in your pace. Oh Lord, bid me to come, and I will come.
Cause where you are is where I always want to be. Oh Lord, be near to come, and I will come. Where you are is where I always want to be. May I never be too fast. May I never be late. Help me to walk in your pace. Help me to walk in your pace. May I never be too fast. May I never be late, Lord. Help me to walk in your pace. Help me to walk in your pace.
Sing this song together.
From your love, you go before, you stand behind.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you were blessed by the message. To listen to more, consider subscribing, sharing, and rating the podcast. We love you.